Hey, we're going to do just a couple minutes here in Psalms 23. We promised a short service today. That's what we'll have. We're looking at the 23rd Psalm, this Psalm of comfort written by David, who was a shepherd, who would become a king, and Jesus would become known as the Good Shepherd. During our normal services, we'll have you guys recite this out loud. We'd love to have people come and see if they can recite it. We don't have time for that today. But I want to focus today on Psalms 23, verse 4, if I can. Psalms 23, verse 4, it says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And if you can remember any part of this brief message today, it'd be the next sentence. And it's because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So using these rules of biblical meditation, we're reading the text in context. This is David, who was a shepherd, who was very familiar with walking in dangerous places. In fact, just briefly, this kind of opaque picture that is up here is actually a picture I took, and it's kind of grayed out on purpose. You can't see much. But it was a picture I took of the Judean desert as we were heading into Jerusalem. And I want you to know that if you had to imagine what a valley of death would look like, this is it. It's a place you would not want to have to stay too long because there is no moisture there. And these are the kind of places that shepherds in ancient Israel would have had to lead their sheep through. And so David would have been familiar with these kind of places. And this is probably around 1 o'clock, and there's not a whole lot of shadow. But you can imagine as the sun comes up or as the sun goes down, the shadows that would have been cast over that, it's not rocky, it's sandy hills, would have been incredibly foreboding. And so David knew what it was like to be alone. And so we read this in the context and we ask ourselves, okay, how can we apply that for our life? And we can apply it by knowing that when we are facing death, when we are in our darkest scenarios and situations, that we know that God is with us, that God is for us, that God is in us. Through Jesus Christ, God is with us. And following these steps of biblical meditation, we're reading the text in context. We're asking, how does it apply to us? And then I've asked you as we read through Psalms 23 to start visualizing this. And so how do I visualize this passage for my own life? And how do I see myself here? Now, in this Pacific Northwest region we live in, there's a lot of great places to hike. How many of you have ever been to a place called Oneonta Gorge before? Anybody ever been there, Oneonta Gorge? A few of you have. It has been overrun by tourists. It's actually very sad. I'm praying that someone steps in and starts regulating how many people go in there. But Oneonta Gorge is what's called a slot canyon, just about 30 minutes outside of Portland. Don't go there. You'll ruin it. Just me. But the slot canyon that's there, it's probably, I'll try not to overestimate, I'd say maybe 20 to 25 feet across. But it goes up about 100 plus feet, sheer rock. So you're walking through this tunnel of rock. Have you been there, Hannah? Okay, don't go there. You're walking through this tunnel of rock and moss, and if the sun is low in the sky, it gets very dark down there. And I imagine this, and I imagine having to hike that at night, how terrifying it would be. To hike this hike, and you're not actually hiking a trail, by the way. The trail is the creek. It's this Oneonta Creek, and there's a waterfall at the end. It's beautiful. Don't go there. And so this is how I envision myself here. And just what I wanted to share with you today is when I was a kid, there were various things that I had to do that involved going into the dark. If I had to bring the garbage out at night, I would take the garbage out into the nighttime and I would put it into the garbage outside and I would make sure that no one was looking and I would run into the house as quick as I could. I can remember as a kid and as a teenager, even, walking by a window at night in the dark, walking by a mirror at night in the dark, I mean, like, making sure that no one can see. Don't let me instill my fears on you, Kylie. But I was always afraid of that man just staring at me as I'm walking by the window who just wants to murder me. I bought into this urban legend of this Bloody Mary that's going to come out of a mirror and kill me while I'm looking in the mirror at night. Because I'm so godly and superstitious at the same time. And we feel these ways. And I can remember as a child, and maybe even up to my 20s, laying in bed, and if my hand went over the edge of the bed, or if my foot maybe got out of the blankets, it was like... Because you never know what's going to grab and tear off your limbs while you're sleeping. And so Monsters, Inc. really helps children with that idea. And I can remember, maybe, I mean, this is a place to be vulnerable, right? Even in we lived in a condo a couple years ago, and there was something about the stairs that were creepy there. Because as you went up the stairs, you had two sliding glass doors that looked upon the stairs, and there was like an upper level of windows. So that murderer that's stalking you outside, he can watch you when you're down the stairs, when you're going up the stairs, and when you're to the top. And man, my wife didn't know, but I would run up those stairs really fast because I didn't want anybody watching me, especially if I didn't have clothes on. I wanted to be quick going up those stairs. And so we all have times where we fear things. But let me tell you something that I've noticed is I was only afraid when I was alone. I was never afraid of those things when I was with someone else. Someone walked out to the garbage with me, not afraid. Someone walks in front of a window at night, walks in front of a mirror at night, not afraid. I had a friend that's like a brother growing up. He stayed the night at her house like literally every night. We didn't get too close when we slept together in the same bed, but there were nights when it was cold and we had to sleep a little bit closer to each other, just friends. And we were there, and I was never afraid to have my hand hanging off the bed. I was never afraid to have my foot hanging off the bed when I knew I had a friend there with me. If I was walking up the stairs at home with my wife or my children, I was not afraid because someone was with me. Here's the big idea today. When my friend was with me, when my wife is with me, when my kids are with me, when my father was with me as a child, walking through these dark places, I want to ask you a serious question. Was the perceived danger ever removed? It wasn't. Not at all. The perceived danger was still there, wasn't it? And so here's what I want to propose to you today. The ease of fear in your life does not happen when danger is removed. I'm going to say that again because you need to know. The removal of fear in your life does not happen when dangerous things are removed from your life. Because let me tell you something. There will always be danger. There is always possibility of things that could go wrong. There is danger everywhere you go. In fact, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But he said, take heart, I've overcome the world. There is danger around, and you cannot remove danger. And so the removal of the fear that you have in your life, it will never be removed when danger is removed, because danger will never be removed until Jesus returns. But the fear was eased, and the fear was taken away. Not in the absence of danger, but in the presence of someone else. Do you hear that? Fear is not removed in the absence of danger. Fear is removed in the presence of someone else. Because we were meant to do life together. We were meant to do life in relationship with each other. In fact, the scriptures say that perfect love casts out all fear. It doesn't say the removal of danger casts out all fear. It doesn't say ominous situations being taken away cast out all fear. The Bible says perfect love cast out all fear. And so in this life that we live in, danger will not be removed. There will never be an absence of danger, but there can always be a presence of someone else. And this is where we have a God who in Deuteronomy, and who allows the Spirit to quote Deuteronomy in the book of Hebrews, where God tells us that he will never leave us, that he will never forsake us. As Jesus gave the great commandment, go make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teach people to obey everything I've commanded you. He says, and don't worry, I will be with you always. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And sometimes he leads me to the valley of the shadow of death. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, not because there is not evil around me, but I will fear no evil because you are with me. God is with you. God goes before you. God goes behind you. He hems you in on every side. And so even if I have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what is the valley of the shadow of death? It's actually death, by the way. Even if I am dying or facing death, I do not need to fear. Because I know that as I die, he is with me. I know that in death, he is there. Even after death, I do not need to fear because I am in Christ, because Christ has saved me through his life, death, and resurrection. I do not need to fear after death because I know that Jesus looked at the thief on the cross and said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Why do I not need to fear what happens after death? Because in Christ, Christ will be with me. And because he's with me, I need not fear. I don't need to fear what happens in the life to come. Because I will be resurrected with Christ. And I will live in the presence of Christ forever. So that's why Paul says, death, life, principalities, darkness, no matter what comes against us, nothing could ever separate us from the love of God. And so I want to caution you as I pray and we begin to sing. Don't look in life for the removal of danger. If you are a follower of Jesus, that means that you are a sheep of the shepherd. And so, dear sheep, do not look to remove danger from your life. Because if you're looking to remove danger from your life, you will never truly live. People that are looking for ways to escape death and to escape danger and to escape illness, they will never find that, by the way. You will all die one day. And so why don't we live life as if we're living instead of living life as if we're afraid to die? Instead, let's live life to live. And so, dear sheep, do not look to have danger removed. In fact, Jesus calls us to go and make disciples. He says that we are a church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. And actually, the shepherd leads you into dangerous places. The shepherd wants us to go into dark places to bring the light of Christ. So do not avoid the dark. Do not avoid danger. Do not seek the absence of danger. But instead, seek the presence of the God who is with you, of the God who will never leave you, of the God who will never forsake you. And I can lay my head on my pillow at night with security and peace, knowing that if I die or if I wake, God is with me. And no matter what I go through, he will be there, not in the absence of danger, but he will be there. And just his mere presence alleviates my fear because his love casts out all fear. Would you bow your heads? There's a man named Stephen in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 7, actually. And he was one of the first ministers of the gospel, one of the first of several thousand followers of Jesus. And the people of Jerusalem didn't like that he was preaching the gospel of Jesus. They didn't like that he was serving on behalf of Jesus. And so, they decided it would be appropriate to murder him. Saul, who would become the Apostle Paul, he was there, and he actually ordered the death of this man, Stephen. And as they stoned Stephen to death with stones, and as they sought to kill him, and as they were slaughtering him there in the streets of Jerusalem, it says that Stephen looked up into the sky, and as he looked up, as he was dying, as the stones were being flung at him, it said he saw Jesus himself standing at the right hand of the Father. See, Jesus stands for us when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And Stephen did not think that death would be removed from him. Stephen knew he was dying as he was being stoned to death. There was no hope that he had to get out of this life alive. But it didn't matter to him because he saw Jesus standing for him. And his fear was removed, not because the stones were removed, but his fear was removed because you are with me. And he knew that in death and after death and in the life to come, that the same Jesus who stood for him would stand with him for eternity. And church, I want you to know God is with you. Would you just invite him in?